This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Yeah, I'm going to call it. I'm going to retire.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Our expectation was to come in here and win the game.
Picked off by Terrell Bernard.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Marcus Spears. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour two of this Friday before week three edition of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Whether you're streaming us live on Disney Plus or ESPN, the app you can get everywhere for all ESPN things, or whether you're listening to us on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance or Sirius XM Channel 80 or our podcast version of this show, all 3 hours, wherever you can get your podcasts. 844-204-RICH again is the number to dial to have a conversation with us. We're about to take a phone call. What's more likely coming up? Marcus Spears of Everything ESPN will be joining us to talk about what he saw last night in Thursday Night Football and preview some of the rest of the week. TJ Jefferson, you and O'Shea Jackson Jr. are going to Indianapolis, Indiana to host the pre-WrestlePalooza show. What are
official
we calling
pre,
it?
It's a pre-show
to the official pre-show.
What does that mean?
It's like, you know, and in the song Gold Digger, this week we're mopping floors, next week we're on the fries. It's like we're moving up, you know what I mean? We're starting off here, we're the pre-show to the pre-show, then eventually we'll make ourselves up to the pre-show,
but you're
and
on,
hopefully we'll get to the main event.
Well, where is the pre-show on?
ESPN's YouTube page.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But you're the pre-show. You are the pre-show.
Yeah.
And then you're the post-show.
And the post-show. Found that out. Yeah.
Outstanding.
Here's what TJ's.
This is what's so wonderful. You and O'Shea Jackson Jr. Mm-hmm. First of all, you've been killing it on no contest wrestling. You've garnered a fan base. I can say these things. You've garnered a fan base. You've built a podcast. You've put in the work. You and O'Shea. And now you're reaping some rewards, but you're also getting to know what it's like to talk with ESPN management, or you're seeing what it's like. Because I remember this back in the day. Yeah. It's like, thank you for doing it. You must do more. And, oh, by the way, since we're liking what we're sensing already, how about some extra stuff? You're there. How about you come back? Right?
Yeah, like I said yesterday.
Building it. It's not like they're coming out of the gate, like doing an hour. Now it's two in the front. Oh, and how about 15 in the back? Now, does that mean you and O'Shea will keep away from any WrestlePalooza libations that you normally would be potentially ingesting?
Nah,
because you now have 15 minutes on the back end?
Now that stuff's like a truth serum. You know, you want the truth at the end of the show, man.
The answer is you say no. They're watching right now.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Everybody knows I'm not a drinker.
I know
that. Mentioned
that
on
that
the show
I know.
Many times.
You're not.
I mean, I'll have a beer or two, but I'm not, you know.
Okay.
Well, I'm about to make a name for myself here.
Exactly. You know how long I've been waiting for this? I was 10.
Perfect job for you.
All right. Thank you, Jason. That was the greatest drop you've ever done.
What are you thinking over there, Chris? Chris is like, what am I going to say now? I got nothing to say. Okay,
very good. I got nothing. I'm proud of you guys. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait to watch.
Yes.
Thank you.
So what time does it start? Do we know the
3
time?
To 5. No, I got to check.
Eastern.
Yeah, Eastern. So I guess
they could have slid that time now. It could be 3 hours long now, for all you know.
Well, I'm prepared for 10 hours.
Hey,
I got to be honest with you.
Would you mind doing it starting at breakfast?
Rich, I'll start it.
Indianapolis is in the Eastern time zone. I had to look that up.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I was unclear.
What are you talking about? Of course it is.
Well, it's in the middle of the country.
Yeah,
Why would it be central?
I know, it can throw you off.
Yeah.
But, you know,
Indy's
Eastern.
It is.
Arizona has no daylight savings. They don't switch.
From Mr. East Coast, though.
Because they're actually Midwest. We're East Coast.
Everybody make sure you're trained to either ESPN's YouTube or Facebook pages.
Please, we'd appreciate
to watch
it,
these guys do their thing, which I'm excited about. Oh, and O'Shea is a surprise for you.
That's what he's been saying.
Okay. And I know what it is.
Oh. I think I know, but I'm not sure.
Okay, no contest wrestling. It'll be great.
Yeah, we got to have to use the banner that has the ESPN under my chin there because, you know, we moved up.
We'll figure it out. PLE is what we call it. The
Premium Live
Premium
Events.
Live event.
That's right.
Yeah. Used to be a PPV, a pay-per-view, and then way back in the day, used to be closed circuit.
Well, you're pre-PLE is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good.
That's Can we just call our show a PLE?
Oh, we've been a premium live event since we started, in our minds.
Since you were in the shower.
We should start calling this as a PLE.
We should.
Yeah.
I'm for it.
Who would deny us that?
Stop us.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rich Eisen PLE.
No, it's not. No, we call it the Rich Eisen Show, which is a PLE.
Yeah.
We're the original PLE. We're the OGs of PLE. We're the PLE OGs.
We're
the Pleogs.
We're premium. We're live.
I just made that up. Corey and Ballmer here on the Rich Eyes. That's line three for those scoring at home. Corey, what's going on, sir?
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you today, Corey?
I'm good. Well, since it is what's more likely Friday, what's more likely team to get upset in week three?
Mm.
The Eagles, Packers, or the Chiefs?
He's not cannibalizing anything of our hour three, what's more likely?
Got to go back and check the script, but I don't believe so.
Okay, so obviously I'm going to go Eagles because I believe the Rams can win the NFC. And if they can win the NFC, they'd have to win a game like this. And the Chiefs are taking on the 0-2 Giants, and the Packers are taking on the 0-2 Browns. So the team that's most equipped to actually win the game on the road would be the Rams. But if you want to choose one where you're like not seeing it coming, that's a stunner that we're talking about. I'd have to go Packers because that Browns defense is no joke. I know what happened in the second half of the game in Baltimore, but I think the Ravens putting up, 40 on the Bills in week one showed you what they can do. And stranger things, it's the first game the Packers have played outside of Lambeau.
True.
But I think, Jay, you do know who the difference maker for the Green Bay Packers might turn out to be.
Macca.
There you go. So thank you for the call. Corey in Baltimore giving us some great food for thought.
I like that it always surprises you, TJ, when that hits.
My ability to gratuitously ask for our favorite new drop here, courtesy of Frank Caliendo.
Macca.
Who, by the way, apparently is if not this week, then the week after against Dallas. There's no way he's on a snap count going into that Sunday night game.
No.
Like Matt LaFleur would have to hydrate with the entire body of water that the Hoover Dam holds up.
Look, he better be on a snap count. He don't want these problems.
By the way, did you like
problems are those?
Did you like my pull of the Hoover Dam? Is that what you were smiling about right there? I don't know about too many other dams in the United States of America.
That's the most famous
okay.
one.
Okay, where's that? Where's the Hoover Dam?
It's in Nevada.
That's the way I'm turning the page to what we were going to talk about. I'm just wondering. I'm wondering if what's going on with Ashton Jeanty in Vegas isn't a fantasy football related storyline that's being put out there because Ashton Jeanty was chosen in so many first rounds of fantasy drafts. I took him in one, so I'm fascinated about his usage.
Yeah.
You as well. Otherwise, name me another running back in the league where people are like, what gives?
Well, we went through the same thing two years ago with Bijan Robinson. Yeah.
No, it's Bijan now again. You just said Bijan.
So
you're
saying Bijan.
You're stuck in May of 2025.
Is he flipping on the name?
That's so May.
Yeah, he's back
of you to call him Bijan.
I know. Trying to be respectful.
But you're right. The same thing happened.
Same thing
with
happened.
Him.
Same.
We're all like, why is Algier getting all of these snaps? When
goal line carries? Like,
yeah,
what are
and
doing?
Arthur Smith is like, I can't run this kid into the ground. And then fantasy football folks who drafted Bijan are saying the same things that you're hearing about with Ashton Jeanty. Yeah, you can run him into the ground. You needed to do it last week. Sarah Tiana got guillotined. Do you not know this, Pete Carroll?
Why are you laughing, Chris?
Because he got saved by the guillotine. I got
yeah, but he's not going to be saved when he gets home tonight.
That said, it could be just flat-out Raiders-related because for the Raiders to have won that game against the Chargers, they needed Ashton Jeanty to control the line of scrimmage, help them out, keep Herbert off the field, put the Chargers on their heels. We're finding out maybe the Chargers are not many going to be able to do that. And plus, you know, if the Raiders chose him instead of somebody else who could have been helpful, who could have played more snaps, then why didn't they do that if their plan for Ashton Jeanty is to, you know, have him stand on the sideline watching Zamir White or Dylan Lauby take some snaps?
This guy also became one of the most famous college football players last year. 2,600 yards, 30 touchdowns. He was everybody's darling. And you see him and you're like, oh, he's going to be a beast in the NFL. What are we doing?
Unless it's just a different ball of wax. As you know, I'm very, very proud of the line that I came up with off the top of my head about three Overreaction Monday podcasts ago, that he's going from Boise to men. And maybe this is part of it as well. This is what Ashton Jeanty had to say when, in his media availability at the podium on Wednesday, was asked about his usage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you draft a guy like me to not give me, you know, carries and touches, and you know, I'm ready for the responsibility, and you know, like I said, you know, it's gonna start with me and, you know, in the run game, and I gotta continue to get better.
It's not just that either, too. How many times, if you take a look at, I mean, we're not all 22 people, but we are, you know, seeing videos in the palm of our hands. Geno Smith running for his life, and there's number two potentially not, what's the word for it, blocking.
He's just standing there.
Like his Jason stance, or he just, his head was on a swivel. Stuff's coming fast. Because, you know, when you're from Boise, do you know who, you know, look like men? The Chargers defense?
Mm-hmm.
Grown ass men from Dayon to Derwin, Killer D's. Is that another one? Come up with another one off the dome? I can't turn it off.
You should try.
Okay. Chip Kelly's the guy calling the plays.
Mm-hmm.
He said this on Thursday.
Would love for Brock Bowers to play every play. You would love for Ashton Jeanty to play every play. But if you play Brock and Ashton or any of those guys every play in every game, by the time you get to game eight, you're not going to have guys left, you know, because there's a certain amount of plays, you know. In basketball, it's called load management. It's not – we're not sitting out games here, but I think you have to be conscious of over the course of 17 games, if some guy's carrying the ball 30 times a game, you know, they only have so many carries in a season. And I mean, if you're going to waste them – not waste them, but if you're using them early, then it's going to hurt you late. So there tries to be a balance.
Backhanded compliment towards the NBA. Chip Kelly.
Load
management. He went, by the way, for those listening on the radio, certainly in Las Vegas, Nevada, he went air quotes with load management and then said, we're not sitting out games. Whoa. Chip. Shots fired at Kawhi Leonard, not from Pablo Torre.
Hey, now.
Hey. All right. Listen. Speaking on behalf of those who have Ashton Jeanty in fantasy football, not asking for every play. We're asking for a little bit more.
Just a smidge.
What I'm saying? Just give me something.
Like how about third downs, maybe? You know, well,
third downs, I get the third down stuff.
But this guy is a pass catcher, right? That's why you took him so high. That's why he was so successful at Boise.
You got it. But if you can't protect the quarterback, you're not getting out there.
Okay.
You're just not. You know what? If you don't, like, just if we get Peyton Manning on next time. Hey, Peyton, did you ever have a third down back on the field that couldn't pass protect? You know what the answer to the question is going to be from him? Hell no.
Yeah, fast hell no.
Hell no. So, and that's why, again, fifth drafted overall, Zeke mm-hmm. Elliott. He didn't come off the field. You know why? Because he came out of Columbus, monster. Ohio, pass proing like a beast.
He was awesome, man.
While feeding himself, okay? But the two-minute drill, I don't get that one. I mean, you got a guy who can break one.
Yep.
And if you need instant offense, again, I'm sure, Dylan Lobey's taken shots from me here all week. And I'm sure he's probably a guy who's worked his ass off to get in this position.
Doubt.
And in Pete Carroll's always compete world, those guys get on the field.
No doubt.
So that's purely fantasy football related with me making these broadsides.
Zeke, too, led the league in rushing his rookie year. He was a monster right out the gate.
Because he was a three-down back, and he earned it. And there was no question about it. Can Ashton Jeanty pass pro? That's the way you get on the field on third down. And number two is, this is a big game for the Washington Command. I mean, you got Marcus Mariota, former Raiders quarterback, but it's Marcus Mariota. It is not Jaden Daniels. Put Ashton Jeanty in the game a little bit more. See what he can do and challenge him. Challenge him. But if he can't pass pro, that's Von Miller. You know what I mean? So there's a challenge for the kid, but it's also clearly a challenge for the coaching staff to get him in and use him and start seeing if he can dominate, because the Raiders could use it. We take a break. Marcus Spears of ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Back here on Rich Eisen Show, simulcast here on ESPN, the app, and also Disney Plus and ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's chop up what we saw last night and preview the rest of the week. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, first time since we started this show in this spot, one of our favorites from all the ESPN shows you see, Marcus Spears, back on the program. Here, Marcus.
What's up, brother? What's going on, man? Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. That LSU thing behind you, is that magnetic? That thing is hypnotic over your left shoulder right there.
Look like it's floating. Actually, when I was with SEC Network, man, this guy had a company, and I saw that thing and was like, I have to have it. So it's been with me for a long time. Okay. So it actually is a good product. It works.
Or is that just trying to intimidate me to ask the right questions of you? Or is that just a Brian Kelly thing? It's not all LSU people? Just want to make sure.
Okay. It could be. Sometimes we get a little testy.
Okay. Rich. I just want to make sure they ask the right question. I don't want to be yelled at. You know what I mean?
If the gumbo and the jambalaya is not good, we get mad. Bro.
I get that from my children enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into it. What do you think is happening in the Dolphins locker room right now, Marcus Spears?
You know, Rich, it's funny, man. It's probably hard to dissolve as a football team because they actually played well up until the end of the game. You go on the road against Buffalo, you're in position to have a chance to tie the game up and presumably try to win the game. And obviously Tua throws the big interception late and obviously Josh comes out and seals it. But, you know, last week, obviously it was so much talk about those guys having a players only meeting and, having these conversations, but ultimately this thing is about wins. And I know people say no more victories, but they showed up in Buffalo against a divisional opponent and played well for three and three fourths of a quarter. But I got to imagine, Rich, with all of that positivity that I just gave you, that they're really a little bit, especially when you get to a certain point where you're trying to decipher between if your team is good enough to make the playoffs or should we blow this thing up and start all over. And I'm not sure if that involves Tua. I'm sure that involves Tyreek Hill and trying to figure out the direction in which this organization is going to go. And these type of games are actually making it harder. Now, hear me out, Rich.
Yep.
When you go and have a really good performance like that and the guys that you've paid a lot of money played very, very well in the game. And you think about all of the things that you would have to do if you were saying, all right, we're going to disband this thing and try to rebuild it. One, you're obviously going to take a step back on offense. I firmly believe that unless you're telling me they're going to get another prolific guy like Tyreek Hill in the building. Two, defensively, we all see that they got to get better on defense. So it's kind of like a reset button there. You got some good, really good players on that side of the ball, but you're going to have to do a lot of work to improve that unit. So again, man, I think it's a very perplexing situation. I think last night made it more difficult for you to just say, look, we're going to blow it up and get ready for another season. But I also believe that how long do you want to waffle in this parts unknown? Shout out to my man, Anthony Bourdain. Rest in peace. But again, brother, I just think it's a difficult time to be a Miami Dolphin and a fan, because Rich, you've been doing this longer than me, and I've been doing it long enough to know when you really don't know the direction of an organization and a team, that's probably the worst place to be. You either need to be bad, so everybody acknowledges that we need to completely do something different, or you need to be a couple pieces away potentially where you can try to go and add those in free agency in the draft. But to kind of be waffling in the middle with some really good players on offense and defense, you got rid of some really good players on defense as well, and kind of you in that gray area, and that's the worst place to be to me as a team in the NFL.
Well, again, you know, I was talking about at the top of the show here, Marcus, is that two of Mike McDaniel's captains, for the lack of a better phrase, let him down. Where you know, Zach Sealer puts Josh Allen back on the field with a roughing the punter penalty. It's a de facto turnover. I mean, that doesn't show up in the turnover column, but it was a turnover. And then Tua, I mean, Mike McDaniel said in his own way, you know, he made the wrong throw. Should have been the flat. He threw a brutal interception. And otherwise, you know, the question about whether McDaniel has the locker room, they came out and hit the Bills in the mouth. Also with a brilliant first half closing drive. And they had the game right there. So I don't know what you do if you got to stay the course if you're the Dolphins right now. And I understand that that is an issue. If you do need to rebuild, you want to hit that button. But the last thing you want to do also is fire a coach, fire a GM, and then start from scratch. No ownership wants to go through,
they don't want to do it.
You know, a search and all of that sort of business, and also admitting that they were wrong. You know, no one wants to do all of that.
Rich, it's like the way you just explained it is why I think it's so difficult.
Right.
Like you look in your division, Buffalo is going to be good for a long time. And it looks like New England is starting to kind of show them signs of trying to get back right. We know when they hire Vrabel, this team is not going to take long to get really, really good. And I think sometimes we talk about it, and obviously the Jets and with Aaron Glenn, and we'll see in which direction they go. I think if they get a quarterback, they can start to kind of count on things with them as well.
Well, just not to jump in here, you kind of hit that, which is the ultimate third rail conversation, that instead of throwing an interception at the end of the game, the Dolphins need the Tua that finds Devontae Smith for Nick Saban to show up.
There you go.
And the question is he the right guy? Is that a fair question to ask right now?
It is a very fair question. And Rich, it's so, you know, it's so sensitive on Tua because we've seen him go through all of the concussions and we've seen him miss time with some catastrophic things. And also we see those times of brilliance. Like last night, there were times when Tua looked, you know, when he gets in that rhythm and he's just in a free flow and pushing the ball downfield, he made some plays with his legs last night. I was actually more impressed with him evading the rush and being able to push the ball down the field at times in that game as well. So there are things about Tua that is always going to be tantalizing and enticing, but obviously, like, I don't know it right in front of me, but I think he's at like 4 interceptions on the season already, and we threw week 3, which is not a good sign for what you're trying to do, and especially in offense. And think about how far we away from this, Rich. This team put up 70 points in Denver at the beginning of the season. Was that last year or two years ago?
It was McDaniel's first year. They came out of the box really, really, coming back on the Ravens and doing stuff like that, you know?
Absolutely. So you thought the trajectory, especially offensively, and the way that Tua played and the way that they paid him, that this was going to be a constant with this football team. And the outing hasn't been bad the last 2 weeks. And obviously the crushing interception. But ultimately, man, it's like, I don't think you can get rid of the quarterback. I think he plays well enough for you to still feel like you can get something going. And then, too, like this part of it, Rich, and what they were doing successfully, and you know I got to get to it at the line of scrimmage, Miami doesn't run the ball well anymore. And I think people forgot how good they were on the ground when they had Mostert and they drafted Achane. Remember we talked about all of the speed and the track runners? That's when that offense was absolutely phenomenal. And they had some runs last night that was really good, physical runs. But it feels like this offense has become one-dimensional a little bit, and they depend on, obviously, Tua making throw after throw after throw and trying to get the ball in Jalen Waddle's hands and trying to get it in Tyreek's hand and see if they can be dynamic. And that's something that Mike McDaniel is going to have to fix as an offensive coordinator. That's something offensive line with Chris Greer. You're going to have to figure out if you got the right guys up there or if you need to retool the line of scrimmage. But I don't think Tua is the issue. I hate the interceptions that he's thrown at this point in the season, but I think you still have enough faith, especially last night for a large majority of that game, that this guy can win games for you in the NFL minus these mistakes that he's been making this particular year. Miami, like I said, Rich, you think about how long we've been in this conversation. It's a conundrum a little bit, man. It's not as simple as saying, let's do this and let's do that, and now we back on track. They've had the player stuff. They've had the, if Mike McDaniel has the locker room, like you just asked, like everybody is asking. The defense didn't look good at all last night, but again, you probably give them a little credit because that's Josh Allen and, you know, all of that. But in the same vein, the fear is that the rest of them catch up. Because remember, we thought this division was just really Miami and obviously the Buffalo Bills. Well, it's once it turns and you still kind of running in the mud, now you vying for a third or fourth spot potentially, as opposed to your conference your division just being down and you by default getting second place in that. And I think that's the fear that they have to have right now as far as if they're going in the right direction.
Marcus Spears, our colleague from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. So the Bills have now won three different ways. A track meet comeback against the Ravens. A 20-point beatdown on the road of the Jets, despite Josh Allen accounting for zero touchdowns.
Yep.
And then last night, a gritty, sort of grinded-out home game against an opponent that you think they have to beat, but it's a division game. They also didn't have two very strong warriors up the middle on defense. They won without Ed Oliver and Matt Milano. Where do you place the Bills now overall, Marcus?
I think they're the best team in the NFL. And look, I don't say that easily because I think the Baltimore Ravens are still right there. But obviously, you got to give them benefit of the doubt for being able to come back and win that game. And I think that's the only thing and the only reason that I would put Buffalo number one. Or for me, it would be Baltimore. Baltimore looks when they're dominant, they look more dominant than anybody, in my opinion, even in that Buffalo game for a large majority of it. But it speaks to the brilliance of not only Sean McDermott, but I don't think this guy gets enough credit for what he's been able to do and get Josh Allen to buy into, and that's the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady. Now, I'm fond of Joe Brady because in 2019,
yes,
he was a member of the LSU coaching staff,
yes,
that gave me the greatest college football season ever.
Joe Burrow's 60 touchdowns. You know, I was just talking about it with my kids, too. You know, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase were teammates of Joe Burrow in college.
An embarrassment so of riches.
I mean, it was, you know, so Odell wasn't the only one making it rain. But post game, I know we're supposed to, you know, bury that. But what about the Packers, though, Marcus? The Packers have looked pretty darn dominant. Two home wins, mm-hmm, but against playoff opponents, one they're going to have to beat to win the division in the Lions.
Yep.
And then obviously what they did to the Commanders, they may have put Jaden Daniels on the shelf on top of all of it. What do you make of the Packers right now?
They are very scary, and they are a top five team in the NFL. It is so hard, especially in the regular season, for me to look at football right now and think that anybody is better than the Bills in Baltimore. That's just where I am. And then how you perform matters as well. And I think they've had dominant, obviously, defensive performances in Green Bay. Jordan Love looks as comfortable. They got Josh Jacobs in the backfield. They are a complete football team. And if they represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I don't think anybody is going to bat an eye. And obviously, the mega trade that was made, unfortunately for me as a fan, of Micah Parsons going over there. So I think a lot of What I'm waiting to see with Green Bay is, can Jordan Love keep this consistency? He's been up and down a little bit to me, and you just want to see him kind of stay even keeled. Now, he looks much more comfortable in this offense, and Matt LaFleur wants him to push it downfield. They want to be explosive as an offense. And I think sometimes last year, if we're being honest, we watched him struggle early in games, turning the football over, and then you could see those glimpses of, dang, this dude going to be really, really good, and this team going to be really, really good. They came into the season with high expectations before Micah Parsons. So I think they are one of those top-tier, top-five teams in the league. I just think Buffalo and Baltimore have been doing it a little bit longer, so I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt. But if you were asking, I would probably put them behind Philly at four. Philly would be the third best team. I haven't really loved all the Philly performances, but how in the hell do you take away from a team that just wins any way they can?
That's right. And they feel invincible, to use the Vince Papale phrase for Philly. And they do feel that way. And they, you know, as I was saying last week, the Chiefs and the Eagles may have swapped places, where the Chiefs are the team that can't afford to make the mistakes. Yep. And the Eagles are the team that if you make one single mistake against them, they will beat you over the head with it. And they did 100%. That in that moment where Mahomes and Kelsey didn't connect. A few minutes left here with Marcus Spears here on the Rich Eisen Show. So which 2-0 team, Colts, I'll throw you the Niners. I'll throw you another 2-0 team. I'll throw you the Bengals. Tampa. Oh, Tampa. Yep. I think Tampa is Super Bowl worthy. You know, I think we know who they are. I really do think. You know, I'm concerned about, you know, Kansas being out. Where are they going to get some pass rush? I get it, but I mean, I'm not worried about them. Mm-hmm. Which one is realer? You know, in the Niners, despite their injuries, being 2-0. The Colts at 2-0, the Bengals, I know they've lost Burrow, but
you believe in Jake Brown.
I know it's provided some topic bars for some television shows, but I mean, honestly, Browning went one game above 500 in a 7-game stint when Burrow got hurt significantly a couple of years ago. All he's got to do is go one game over 500. And I know it will be a longer period than just 7 games. That would be a 10-7 season, and maybe the Bengals get Burrow back. Who knows? You know what I mean? Like, Rich, I don't know.
Listen, so. I completely disagree with you that he's going to play well, but I would not be shocked. Here's what people have to understand.
Sure.
And this is why there is some validity to what you're saying.
Okay.
Jake Browning has been in this organization. He understands what Zach Taylor is wanting to do offensively. I don't think anything is going to change. Now, can he be as dynamic with the ball as Joe Burrow over a consistent time is what I would love to see, because I'm with you. If he can, obviously we know Jamar and T is out there. He has significant playmakers. Cincinnati has shown some life on defense a little bit, but I just have to be convinced that Jake Browning can perform well enough, because this team still is about scoring points, and a lot of them. They not going to win 20-17. That's not the type of games that they are going to play. They going to have to be a high-powered, prolific offense. I don't think that defense is just going to stand up over and over again as the season goes along. The realer one to me with this 2-0 start would probably be, out of the three teams that you just gave me, I would probably have more confidence in Kyle Shanahan. I love what Robert Saleh is doing now defensively. San Francisco looked like that fire is back. We know how good Fred Warner is. Brother, I'm telling you right now.
I know, right?
We just don't talk about him enough. I even feel bad for not talking about how this dude is great at football. And I think that matters when you start talking about kind of San Francisco and who they are and what they're going to be. I love Brock Purdy and the way he's played and shown that he is the guy. But Mac Jones, when he was coming out, I was vehemently against him going third overall. I just didn't think he was a third overall talent. Obviously, Trey Lance didn't end up being that either.
Yeah.
But I think Mac Jones obviously fits what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. He's a cerebral quarterback. if you can get him to take care of the football, his eyes and his all of that stuff goes to the right place. And Kyle is obviously Kyle is not bringing quarterbacks in to back up his starters that he doesn't believe he can win with. So yeah, I think the 49ers are going to be something to be reckoned with. And obviously with being able to get their guys back healthy as the season goes along is what you hope, because it's been a team riddled and decimated by injuries. They've been probably more unfortunate than anybody when it comes to dudes missing time and not being available. And we're not just talking about some guys that back. We're talking about the superstars for their football team. So hopefully they can get rid of that injury bug, and they'll be a team to be reckoned with as the season goes along.
Yeah, I like to do top five lists around here, Marcus. If I did a top five list of guys in the NFL who I think there are two of on the field at once, Fred Warner might be at the top of the list. You know what I mean? Like, How many of them are on the field? Because like, he's wearing the same number, but how could he be in those places like that? I am with you, man.
Look, you can get excited when you watch him on TV because you see the plays and the announcers are saying, brother, when you turn the tape on like we do to study these games, it's unbelievable how many plays he's affecting when he's not making the tackle.
That's right.
Like, it's like, is he a part of 100% of the defensive plays that are happening? But he is phenomenal. And he is also a guy, Rich, that I believe once you get into the playoffs, and I used to talk about this, I played with DeMarcus Ware, I played with T.O. He's a guy that brings the best out of everybody around him. Mm-hmm. And I think in order to wear those gold jackets and be in that Hall of Fame, there has to be something about you that the guys next to you, the guys behind you, they benefit from you being on the football field. I think that's a big deal when we start talking about being great. And I think Fred Warner is great.
Last one for you, Marcus. Two teams that we haven't mentioned in this conversation who are absolutely in the top maybe five, if not top seven in the league, are both teams out here in Los Angeles. I don't know if people sleep on us out here because we arrive late, you know, we leave early and things like that to beat traffic. And we got the sun here and, you know, it's a hard-nosed sport here. But the Rams and the Chargers can both hit you in the mouth. And there are big games for both this weekend, for both being 2-0. If you had to put your marker on one of them, Chargers, Rams, to go last longer, it would be which Los Angeles team, Marcus?
I would probably go Rams over the longevity of the season, because I don't think the NFC is as strong as the AFC. Okay. That's number one. And we know the Chargers got to play Kansas City again. And I'm not ready to bury Kansas City.
I'm with
Rich.
You.
I just don't feel like this team is going to go quietly in the night. But I do love what the Chargers are doing. They have an identity. And obviously you give a lot of that credit to Harbaugh. He has bought and sold into Justin Herbert. And not only did he talk about him, he's showing, like, he's making sure that Greg Roman elevates Justin Herbert at the quarterback position. He's playing phenomenal. But I've seen Matthew Stafford win a Super Bowl. I've seen the Rams go on the road against Philly, which ended up being the best team in the NFL with an opportunity to win the game on the road in the playoffs.
In the snow. The in the snow.
Yeah. So, and I got a lot of confidence in this defensive line. Another guy that I think doesn't get enough credit for what he does. I know we talk about him. We went through the highlights. Puka Nacua is as good as they come at the wide receiver position.
Yep.
Devontae there now. Like, the Rams are, and they still are. Here's the thing I love about McVay. McVay wants to push the ball down the field. He wants to be explosive, but he does not get away from the roots and the nuts and bolts of football. And that's the line of scrimmage and being physical. So I think the Rams have a chance for that longevity, one, because of the division and the conference, but also because they've shown us that they are formidable against the Super Bowl champs.
All right, we got to do this more often, Marcus. I'm not lying.
Let's do it, bro.
Okay.
You got my number now.
I know,
man.
Yes, and I'm about to text you mine. So there's no excuses. We're out of excuses.
No doubt.
Thanks again, Marcus. You're the man.
All right, my brother.
Marcus Spears, everybody here. Check him out on all shows on ESPN right here on The Rich Eisen Show. There he goes. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Hour number three is just for all of us right here, including What's More Likely coming up.
The Rich. Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Yeah, we'll show that to the kids.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Definitely not.
The Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. It's all new. It's an incredible SUV, and it's for many reasons. There's a spacious interior, comfy for the entire crew. Is it capable of going off-road? You bet it is. Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range, you know, and it could be also the driver behind the wheel. It's really special. The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603 for more details. We started the hour with fantasy football, wondering if the Ashton Genty story is completely 100% fantasy football related. Then we found out in hour number one that TJ Jefferson spending $350 fantasy dollars on getting Jaden Daniels, plucking that off of the buzzard like over Sarah Tiana's guillotine team. TJ Jefferson spends all that money to watch Jaden Daniels sit
for a week.
Let's hope.
Let's hope you're not out this week.
Because I have him in my poker league I want to win, and I'm 0-2 because he hasn't done jack.
Like I said, it was an accident. All right? Okay. I didn't mean to spend
whatever. But I don't know if there's a bigger foul than what Jason Feller committed during the commercial break.
Yeah, you missed this one, Chris.
Is there a bigger fantasy foul than... Go ahead and ask the question you asked of me.
And ask it.
Do not give any other background other than the information of the question
you
gave to me.
Who are you feeling this week? You think Mahomes or Goff's going to have a better week in fantasy?
Now, there's an answer to that question, and I appreciate you asking me
because I respect you.
You respect my football acumen and ability to conceive or whatever.
Yeah, that ain't the reason, though.
Ask him who he's playing in fantasy this week.
Who are you playing?
Rich.
Wait, so you asked him for advice on who you should play against him.
Now, did you do that just to troll, or did you really think I didn't know I was playing and you might snake out some crucial information?
I don't know if you recall, this happened in the playoffs last year. And
I remember.
I got it out of you eventually.
Oh, I remember.
But I had to watch you on a different show to get it.
I know that. I know it.
Oh, man.
Just checking your paying attention.
Because I respect you, I will give you an answer, okay?
Okay.
I looked it up on PFF, Pro Football Focus, PFF. And there's a special new stat from PFF, and it's I'll read it off right here.
Here we go.
It's a stat that's three letters, GFY. And the GFY is very high on that particular question. There's an answer of the GFY. You should look it up yourself.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know why we were even talking about your matchup, the 10th and 11th place teams in our league playing each other.
Yeah, well, that's one way to say it. I mean, there's one 2-0 team and one 0-2 team, and the rest are all 1-1. So it's a crucial week three. But I would start Goff.
See, now I don't know if you're just trying to...
Because now he's going to backfire immediately. I would start Goff. The guy had 5 touchdowns last week. He's clearly on fire, and Mahomes is having trouble. I'd start Goff.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Yep, we got it.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.